Hello, everyone, and welcome to church. I hope you can hear me over the noise of the traffic. I'm sat outside the building today, and the doors are still locked, I'm afraid. But that doesn't mean that we can't still be the church. The church was never the building. We are the church. It was only ever the place where the church met. We are the church, and today we meet together online or via YouTube or Facebook. So either gathered or scattered, the church is all those people who recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Wherever you are right now, you are part of that family, the Church of Christ. Our worship today has a specific theme. We're going to be focusing on the church worldwide and our links to that global church. I don't know whether you've noticed, but I've got my executive briefcase with me today. I wonder what's inside. Well, this is my Nigerian shirt. It was given to me by the church in Nigeria, in Mina, when I visited about 20 years ago now. I went to see a friend who works with the leprosy mission. During this lockdown, we've become very isolated and our vision has become very shrunk. The news has all been about things that are happening here at home. But what about the rest of the world? My shirt always reminds me to think bigger, to see further. We're part of a church worldwide. So I'm going to go and nip and put my Nigerian t-shirt on. And while I'm doing that, why don't you join us as we sing together our first worship song this morning. Today in our worship, we welcome a very special guest. Tim Baker works for All We Can. All We Can is the aid and development wing of the Methodist Church. It's our own Methodist charity, if you like, supporting projects all around the world. Later, Tim will tell us more about All We Can, but for now, he's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
So let's just begin with a moment of prayer. And I'm just going to invite you as part of our prayers, just to hold in your mind the name or the face of somebody from your church community, somebody who you know from the local town, perhaps who comes to church regularly, perhaps who's never been to church but who is sort of a part of the community, perhaps somebody who you're missing, somebody you'd like to be with today. So let's just pray together, and as we do that, let's hold those people's faces and names in our mind. And perhaps as you do, you can be encouraged that somebody might well be thinking of you, somebody might well be praying for you this morning, as we have that sense of being held together despite all this. So let us pray. Living God, we've gathered on this holy day. Even though we're not able to gather physically, we've made time. We've turned aside from the distractions, the disappointments, the struggles of pandemic, the challenges of not being able to meet in person. We've put those to one side and we've gathered in your presence. So today we bring before you all those who are watching this service. We just offer a prayer for all of them. All those who are a part of this service in some way, we just invite you and your presence to be with them. We invite you to work in their lives, to show them that you are at work, to bring them a message of hope, a message of encouragement, a message of blessing. We are your people, Lord, and we come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. More from him later on in our service. As you can see, I've moved indoors. Well, it's the joys of the British summer, I'm afraid. It's started to rain outside. So here I am back indoors again. It's time to turn to our Bibles. If you want to, get your Bible out and follow along. And Deb Setters is going to bring today's Bible reading to us.
Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Tim Baker works for All We Can, linking congregations like our own to projects supported by the charity around the world. I'd asked him to come and preach at PMC before the lockdown began. Obviously, we'd planned for him to come and join us in person, but we had to cancel that. Instead, he agreed to produce for us this video message. He recorded it a few weeks ago, back around the time of Trinity Sunday, exclusively for us here at PMC. So in this sermon, he talks about the Trinity. God is all about relationships, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he asks us to join in with him into that relationship and partner with him in mission. But hey, rather than preach Tim's sermon for him, let's hear from him himself. Here's Tim Baker.
I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what this lockdown period has been like for you. I don't know what's on your mind. And one of the strange things about not being able to meet together is that we can't have those conversations. And the thing I perhaps miss most, actually, because we've found ways to do preaching, and I was going to say I missed that most, but we've missed the opportunity to have those conversations before worship, the conversations that ask questions like, what is life like in Penrith at the moment? How are some of the local churches, some of the local groups, some of the local people coping with the current situation? And so I hope that you are having those conversations. I hope that you're finding ways to connect and to build a world in which we are together. We do have some kind of sense of unity and togetherness. That's my hope for you, and it's my hope for the church around the world. Because today is Trinity Sunday. It's the day in the church year where we say, let's just make sure we focus on this strange, unknowable mystery at the heart of our faith. And you can read reams and reams of books, far more books than I've got on this little bookcase, about the Trinity, and still not really understand it, still not really understand how it works. And theologians and scholars are still battling with that understanding today. The Trinity is that simple idea that is very complex as soon as you start to stretch it a little bit. It's the simple idea that God is somehow three and one, and yet one and three. So it's not to say that we worship three different gods, but neither is it to say that we just worship a God. Rather, we worship God, who is Creator and Christ and Spirit, and these three kind of different personalities of God are somehow mysteriously joined together. And we are somehow mysteriously invited into that union. Perhaps you're familiar with the famous Rublev painting, in which the Trinity, also the three angels who visited Abraham, those two things seem to merge together in Rublev's imagination. And we are invited to be the fourth person in the Trinity around the table, invited to join that feast. And so it seemed important to me that we think again about Trinity Sunday today. And in the midst of focusing on All We Can, and it's a very appropriate link. But it seemed appropriate to me particularly because connection and relationship is a bit difficult right now, isn't it? If you live on your own, it's perhaps really challenging. If you live separated from those whom you love, and you're not normally kind of going to see people regularly, but that's not been happening for a while, then you're finding relationship difficult. Well, today we want to remember that and hold the pain of that and also see in Trinity Sunday an invitation into a deeper kind of relationship. That's about so much more than how often do we get to have tea together and how often do we get to sit round the same table. It's much more about how are we united in Christ? How is our invitation to be the fourth member of the Trinity sitting around Rublev's painting? How are we invited to be in relationship with each other and with the divine? That connection is really important. But the crucial thing for me, and the thing that most excites me, I think, about the concept of Trinity and the concept of a Trinitarian God, is that it's connection with a purpose. It's holding relationship in order to do something. It's not just kind of being relational for the sake of being relational, lovely though that might be. It's saying, in our unity, in our Godhead three in one, and somehow one in three, we are achieving something in the world. And we'll unpack what that is in a little minute, but for all we can, that's really important too. We talk a lot about our local partners around the world and the way that we work with them, which is all about partnership. It's all about saying, how can we work with you, alongside you, in relationship? How can we build those relationships of trust and empathy and understanding so that we understand a little bit about your context and you understand a little bit about what we're trying to achieve in the world on behalf of the Methodist Church? We do all of those things, but we do it in order to tackle poverty, in order to tackle injustice, in order to build a better world. We're deliberately building partnerships in order to achieve something, in order to see God's kingdom come, God's will be done here on earth. It's connection, but with a purpose. Perhaps an image that might be helpful if you're a rugby fan is just to think a little bit about those three men at the front of the scrum, the hooker and the props either side, who, there's two things that they might do in their lives. At some point, you might give each other just a hug around the arm. You might put your arm around your burly mates and say, let's have a hug, just the three of us. And that's connection and that's relationship. It's not really achieving anything. But in a match, when a scrum setting occurs, when there's a possibility for a big push on or a big defensive scrum, when the three of them, the hooker in the middle and the prop on the right and the prop on the left, when they bind together and hold each other, it's for a purpose. Because they're going to, with the other forwards behind them, they're going to drive over. They're going to push on over the other team and try and win the ball back or try and clear the ball out so that they might score a try. And it seemed to me that that was an appropriate kind of image for the difference between just relationship for relationship's sake. Yes, that's important, it's nice, but what are we going to do with those relationships? How are we going to use the contacts, the relationships, the friendships we have to make the world a better place? It's not always about winning a rugby match. It's about much more than that. It's about building the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's here in this gospel reading too. I think that's what the very end of Matthew's gospel points us to. Because we get this little glimpse of the Trinity here at the end of Matthew, and it's one of these, this verse is one of the verses that scholars have spent lots of time unpacking. Because in verse 19, and it all hinges on verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And they've got it, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Christ, the Spirit. And suddenly those three are somehow connected and yet separate, connected yet different. There's some mystery going on there in verse 19. But verse 19 isn't just one thing that you should get scholars to think about in the future is how these three things might be connected. And sadly, that's often how it gets interpreted, is this verse is here for the scholars to unpick what the Trinity means. Rather, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And then the bit about the Father, Son and Spirit comes later. It's saying, I am a relational God. I am a three-in-one kind of God. And I'm inviting you to go and bring other people into the relationship. Perhaps Rublev's painting ought really to be a long banquet table, at which, yes, we might be the fourth member, but we're invited to bring everybody else. We're invited to bring, to build relationships, to build partnerships in order to gather other people around the table. And part of that is about introducing them to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of love and hope and possibility and peace that we carry in these scriptures and that we see in our churches and that we know about because of our experience of the living God. Part of it's about that. But it's also about how we build a better world, isn't it? It's about how we build a world of justice and peace and prosperity, a world in which there is no more poverty, in which every person has their potential fulfilled. And so that's what you're being invited into this Trinity Sunday. That's what I hope you'll go about your lockdown life in the next few days and weeks thinking about, is how am I invited in to be a part of the Trinity? Not just to sit there and enjoy the relationship, but in order to build a better world. How can I be a part of this great commission, this invitation into relationship that will then change and transform me? Let's allow God to do something in us and then through us so that we might build a better world, so that we might go out and make disciples of all nations, so that there may be no more poverty, no more pain, no more injustice. We're living through a really hard time at the moment where coronavirus is causing havoc to our way of life and it's bringing much fear and doubt to the developing world. It's more important than ever that we build relationships, that we hold together, that we connect, and then that we use all of those connections and relationships in order to go somewhere. Let's drive the great rugby scrum of justice a little bit further this day, this week. Let's just pray together. Living God, you know our hearts. You know the things that trouble us. You know the pain that we carry. And you know too the pain of the world. You know too the challenges that our society faces. And today, as we gather, today as we find ways to connect, we invite you to move amongst us by your Spirit. We invite you to connect us once again with each other, but also with our world. Help us to build relationships and then to use our connections with you and with each other to build a better world. May we be a justice people, a peace-seeking people, a loving people, a people whose desire is to see every person's potential fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Over the weeks, we've tried to stay in contact by producing interviews with members of the congregation to find out what they've been up to. So here's our roving reporter, Fred, who's been talking to Steve Morris about PMC's links with the World Church.
Well, hello, and welcome to another Fred Does an Interview session. And I'm really pleased today to be joined by Audrey Cannon and Steve Morris, who are going to talk a little bit about the work of the All We Can charity, and in particular, our PMC is involved in that charity. So, Steve and Audrey, hello to you.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thanks very much for joining us. And Steve, if I can start with you, I'm fairly new to the church, so I'm still finding my sort of way around. And All We Can was a new term to me. I've not heard of the charity, so. Perhaps can you give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, where that sort of fits into PMC, a little bit of the history behind the charity?
Now, the way I like to think of it is, if you look at your Methodist membership card.
Oh, very good. He's got it handy.
Yeah. Well, inside it, it says, as a member of the Methodist Church, I am called to worship, learning and caring, service, and evangelism. Now, I mean, as I see it, worship and learning and caring are the things we do within our own congregation. I mean, this is a fairly crude categorization. Service and evangelism are the things we would be doing outside our own congregation, anywhere from, you know, just down the road to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And Audrey and I have been asked to speak to you because we're members of PMC's World Church Committee.
Yeah.
So we're looking at aspects of evangelism, which would be the Methodist Church's Fund for World Mission, and service, which is the Methodist Church's Relief and Development Fund, which is what All We Can now is.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Audrey, if I can bring you in, can you give us a sort of an idea of what sort of projects you've been involved in over recent years with All We Can, as it's called now?
We have recently become partners with All We Can, and they ask you to partner a project for 2 years.
Mm.
And we had water harvesting. There's been a great emphasis on water because that's a huge problem in many parts of the world. We've also...
Our previous project was solar-powered irrigation in Malawi, wasn't it?
Was it Malawi?
Yes, that's right. And before that, it was chicken business in Zimbabwe. Yes.
There's chickens everywhere.
Yes. So, I mean, Uganda clean water, HIV and AIDS in Malawi, infant mortality in Mali, agriculture in Togo, supporting Dalit and tribal women in India, clean water and sanitation in Uganda, and then the ones we've already mentioned, chicken business in Zimbabwe, solar irrigation in Malawi, and the current one, which is Deepen Your Roots, helping with the effects of climate change in Ethiopia. And we launched this last Harvest Festival.
Mm.
With a service. And
I think one of the things they do try to do is sustainable farming in any given area.
Mm.
So they find out what will work and help farmers to concentrate on that.
Yeah, I think sustainability is a key one. And the church that I was previously involved in Guernsey, they had a term for it and they called it Farming God's Way. So again, it was done on the whole, you know, let's create something that is sustainable over the long term rather than just being a quick fix to get them out of a particular hole. So you're both involved in a group in the church that has got a focus on basically sort of, you know, our world mission and evangelism.
Yes.
If somebody wanted to get involved in that group and sort of help in some way, who would they contact?
Judith. Well,
Judith Joyce is the secretary of it, but I mean...
Driving force, I'd call her.
Yes, driving force, that's right. Yes, but I mean, any of us, and yes, we would be very happy to welcome anybody else.
Yeah, so I suppose the easiest port of call is to get hold of Michelle at the church, and then she can put the two together.
Yes, and I mean, if anybody wants to follow that up, you know, straight away, while we're still in lockdown, I mean, yes, contact Michelle and she can put them in contact with, well, any of us, Judith or any of us, and that would be fine. We'd be delighted to welcome them.
Brilliant. And even if people perhaps just wanted to join you in prayer to support mm-hmm. things.
That's right. Well, you say in prayer, mm-hmm. of course, again, Judith would want us to remind people of the Methodist Church's prayer handbook, where each day of the month there's a double page spread. The left hand side is for praying for Christians in one or more of our partner churches around the world, and the right hand side is praying for one of the Methodist Church districts. So, I mean, this Sunday is the 28th. And on the left-hand side, praying with Christians in Europe, France, Hungary, North Africa, and North Macedonia. Did you know there are Methodist churches in those places? Well, there are.
Yes.
I think I'd like to say that the committee is not exclusively All We Can. It's the World Church Committee. Mm. And we do have the other element, the Fund for World Mission, supporting what used to be called missions, mission partners in other parts of the world as well. So All We Can is one part of the World Church Committee.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yes, and these days there's really, I suppose you would say, three aspects to it. I mean, the old-fashioned idea, of course, was sending missionaries to these other countries. Mm. Well, there are still some people who go from Britain and Ireland to work in other churches, and we now call them mission partners. Mm. But much more, it's obviously more efficient and probably more effective to use local people, members of their own churches there. Mm. And so Britain, the Methodist Church in Britain, will support these mission local nationals in mission appointments, that's the right term, working
also,
there.
The overseas churches sometimes identify a particular need, a lecturer in biblical studies somewhere, and they might ask Britain if there is someone willing to go and fulfill that need for a specific job.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think I need to draw things to a close as the meeting moves on, but just want to thank you very much, Audrey and Steve, for joining us today and for giving us a little bit of an insight as to the sort of the world mission view that PMC has got. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fred. All the best
thank
to everyone. Bye.
Here's Tim Baker again to tell us more about the work of All We Can and how we can personally get involved.
So I want, at this point, just to introduce you to a little bit of the work of All We Can. As many of you know, I'm the Churches and Volunteers Manager there. My name's Tim, and I've been a part of that team now for 5 years. And for 5 years, have travelled around the country, preaching and sharing with churches and leading house groups and Bible studies and meeting lots of people face to face. So coronavirus has had a pretty dramatic impact on my job and my role. I've spent a lot more time looking down a camera lens in the last 8 weeks than I sort of imagined I might have done at any point in my career. But it's been a huge blessing to me to see the way the church has responded to that. And thank you for having me as part of your service today, even amongst all these strange circumstances. So All We Can is the Methodist International Development Agency. For the last 80 and a bit years, we've been working on behalf of the Methodist Church to tackle poverty. Our vision statement is that every person's potential be fulfilled. And that's really important to me, because actually what we're trying to do is not just tackle poverty in the sense of let's try and keep the people who are currently starving and poor alive. It's actually to say, how can we tackle poverty to the extent that there is no more poverty? How can we tackle poverty to the extent that people's lives are so transformed, so turned on their heads, that they experience fullness of life? They experience whatever it is that Jesus is hinting at in John 10:10 when he says that I came that you might have life and have it in all its fullness and have it in abundance. Perhaps we could say, I came so that every person's potential might be fulfilled. Around the world, we're doing lots of different bits of work, doing all sorts of different areas of work, doing lots of different ideas. All We Can is not an easy organisation to talk about in a short amount of time. It's a very easy organisation to talk about in a long amount of time, and you're unfortunate because you've not really got a way of stopping me today. If I was in a church, I would say at this point you could just walk out if I go too long. But no, I'm joking, because I want to keep it concise and I want to keep it focused. I want us just to hear one story, actually. I want us just to meet one amazing group of people in Uganda who I met just a few months ago. I went to go and see them in a place called Butagaya in rural Uganda. Hugely challenging context, really difficult and poor part of the country, in a really challenging country. They, of course, have also been through all of the traumas and pain of coronavirus. There's been a huge lockdown period in Uganda. But excitingly, even amongst that, and as Uganda begins to think about how it emerges from that, we are seeing change. We are seeing people's lives being touched.
We've heard how change begins with a bike. Well, today, change can begin with you and with your support. So I encourage you now, invite you now, to visit your own circuit's personalised giving page on the All We Can website. Create a page called allwecan.org.uk/Penrith Circuit, and the details will come up.
I'm glad you've been able to join us this week and look forward to seeing you all again. Join me as I say the words of the grace and imagine at least holding hands in unity with the other members of our church and indeed the church around the world today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.